Now, I want to move toward a conclusion here. These four functions, the mystical, the cosmological, the sociological, and the psychological. The second and third, cosmological and sociological, the rulings, the basic problems change from generation to generation very fast in our generations at any rate. For a long time it was simply an agrarian world, and things did not change very much, but things are changing very fast now. Besides, this has been taken over by science. We have the physicists and astronomers and biologists and so forth dealing with the problem of the cosmological, and we have sociology and all of this taking charge of the sociological. They take charge of it without hinting of the mystery behind, so we've lost the icon, you might say. But the mystical and the psychological remain. These general crises of life, from dependency to maturity to old age, are the same today as they were in the Aurignacian caves. These are the constants. These are the elementary idea aspects of the myth, and the rest is the folk idea, the historical side of the story. As I say, the function, finally, of myths is to introduce you, by way of the marga of the path, to the deep psychological and mystical, the two being ultimately one. The mystery of your psyche and the mystery of the universe is one. In the Orient, the great impersonal idea has been dominant. There are four main domains of mythology in the high cultures: Europe, the Near East, India, and China. India and China are relatively isolated. China with the ocean on the east and the deserts on the west, India with the Himalayas on the north and the oceans round about, so that the civilization that was brought in there from the Near East, civilization based on this cyclic idea, the cosmic round, has remained relatively uninflected. New influences were not massive. The civilizations remained. And so there we find the old story still told of the goddess whose womb is the world within which we live. The generations are of her children. In the West, on the other hand, in the Near East and Europe, we have two worlds that are very close to each other, interacting all the time, and at the same time wide open, north and south, to invading peoples, the peoples of the Indo-Europeans and of the Semitic nomadic peoples. These are the patriarchal people of whom we heard earlier. And they bring in a mythology of warcraft, of fighting, of killing. And in our world of the West, these have been the dominant mythologies, both in the classical world and in the Near East. And here, the gods are dominant, and a sense of separateness. The creator and the creature, I and you, you are not of my society. You are a Gentile, or you are a barbarian. You are the other one, and we get this fighting thing going on. These two positions are the positions today in the high mythologies of the world. One with the male god dominant and separateness. The male always represents combat and separateness. And the other, the mother, who unites and brings the two together. This isn't to say that they haven't had war in the East or anything of the kind, but in the mythologies, these are the dominant moods. The Eastern mythology having to do with your realization of your identity with that transcendent power. The West, the righteousness of your position, moral orders, and so forth. The